China's economic and political growth has been well documented. However, little attention has been paid to how rapid development is dramatically impacting cultural life in China. Organizations in both China and the U.S. are working together to preserve the country's heritage and build cultural ties. Kurt Dewhurst is a former president of the American Folklore Society, and he's the director of arts and cultural initiatives at MSU. Under his leadership, the American Folklore Society started the China-U.S. Forum on Intangible Cultural Heritage. Early this week, Dewhurst described to me some of the changes facing China's culture.
I think many of us know about the economic changes going on in China, and certainly the changes that we think about politically that we read about in the news. But we certainly don't pay enough attention, I think, to the diverse cultural traditions of China and what's really happening not only to the tangible culture of China, meaning the historical buildings and cities and towns and how they're evolving, but this whole intensification of change and experience is having a dramatic impact on the cultural life of China. China has 55 ethnic minority groups, very deep and powerful, persistent cultural traditions that are being uprooted dramatically now by the movement of people, by the remaking of neighborhoods and cities, with the economic explosion that we're all witnessing in China today.
Now, you were president of the American Folklore Society when they started the China-U.S. Forum on Intangible Cultural Heritage. So explain a little bit about what this forum is and what the goals are with this forum.
It was a response, if you will, by the scholarly community of people who study intangible cultural heritage. And the American Folklore Society, much like the Chinese Folklore Society, have spent their professional time documenting and recording the living traditions of China, and making sure that they're not only documented, but they're preserved and archived and made available for future generations, but also taking steps to perpetuate them. So whether it's in festival formats or performances. And so for many people who work in that realm, they were seeing how rapidly these were all disappearing or coming under threat, because it wasn't just a matter of escalation of economics that changed things, but it literally meant relocation of people or occupations needing to go to work in other places. And so there was a real feeling that we ought to be taking some steps to, and maybe in a real dramatic way, to do the documentation and preservation and maybe making broader China aware of the depth and richness of cultural life in China and the creative life in China.
Why is it important that the U.S. is involved in that, that this is kind of a cross-cultural thing?
It is really an interesting kind of pairing, if you will. I think that part of this grew out of the fact that we have a number of scholars in the West and certainly in the United States who have had a long time interest in China. So they were aware of these changes and frankly, in some cases, alarmed by the changes. So they felt the sense of urgency. One of the things that the American Folklore Society was able to bring to this conversation, and we're learning from one another. It's not as if the U.S. is bringing new approaches that perhaps might not have emerged. We're learning from our Chinese colleagues too, but they're particularly interested in a lot of the digital and technological tools we're using to document, preserve, and digital repositories where you can record and make available and accessible to scholars around the world the traditions of China in ways that haven't been done. And so in future generations, this period of time that is a period of great change, we will save as much as we can so that we can look back and better understand it in the years ahead.
So what role is Michigan playing in this, and what role do you see MSU playing in building this cultural bridge?
Well, I think that I think MSU can be a cultural bridge, and it's doing that in lots of ways. I mean, many of your listeners probably would know this already, but if not, they might be surprised to know that we have almost 4,000 Chinese students now at MSU. That's right, 4,000 students. Yeah. They're enriching the experience for all students at MSU. It's happened very, very dramatically, really, for us. And so I think that we're learning about China through our Chinese students, but also we need to be able to find ways in which that all Americans can learn more about China. So some of the kinds of things that are going on right now are we're doing a variety of activities at MSU. We have an organization, a group on campus called the Cultural Engagement Council, which includes all the cultural units from the Broad Art Museum to the MSU Museum to art departments, the music college and Residential College of Arts and Humanities, the College of Arts and Letters, and others. We're all working together to have a whole year, a thematic year, of looking at China. So there'll be lots of cultural experiences and programs, including an exhibition that we're working on that I'm a part of. We developed an exhibit, interestingly enough, first with support of the U.S. ambassador to China, and he wanted to have an exhibition of American quilts come to China, because he was very interested in quilts and thought about them metaphorically as a kind of patchwork coming together, yeah, as China is and America is. So the MSU Museum worked with Arts Midwest and South Arts in the United States to put together an exhibition. And this exhibition is touring 6 cities in China right now. It finishes up in Beijing at the new Chinese National Museum of Women and Families, which has just opened in 2010. Beautiful new museum. There's a book. The exhibit is called More Than the Sum of Its Parts. And as a result of that, the Chinese came back to us and said, well, we want to send to America an exhibition of Chinese quilts and textiles. So we're now working on that with the Michigan State University Museum has a partnership with the Yunnan Nationalities Museum, which is in Kunming, which is the capital city of Yunnan province.
Now, at the top, we talked about, we always talk about economics and diplomacy. Why is culture just an important thing to build a relationship on and to exchange, if not more important?
Yeah, I think one of the clear lessons is to say, it comes around the issue of I suppose one could say about diplomacy and more broadly defined, a lot of the struggles we're even having economically to find understanding come from the fact that we don't understand each other's culture and how we do business and how we communicate with each other. But I think it's even bigger than that. The last time I was in China, I was watching the national television network, the CCTV, mm-hmm, and they had a week-long series they were doing on what they called the crisis of creativity in China. And it was very interesting because it was almost the opposite of the dialogue we were having in the United States. In China, they're very proud of their success in science and technology and math and engineering, STEM. If mm-hmm. we're all hearing a lot about STEM in our schools and policies being driven that way. But they feel that the reason they're not competing, they won't be able to compete, is that they don't pay enough attention to creativity. And that grows out of an understanding of arts and culture and a deeper sense of what it means to be a creative thinker. And the kind of regimented way in which education is structured there is something they're trying to counter. So there's actually a pushback in China right now to encourage students to pursue the humanities and social sciences as careers, not just science, math, and engineering, all, mind you, very important fields in the 21st century. But they feel as though what they admire in the United States is we have found more balance in that way. And here we are moving more toward trying to be more like China, perhaps. So I think it's an interesting moment. We have a lot to learn from one another. And while we feel we might have a crisis in science and in engineering here, China is trying to overcome what they perceive this crisis in creativity.
Well, I'm excited to see how this relationship and exchange plays out. Kurt, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
Kurt Dewhurst serves as the Director of Arts and Cultural Initiatives and is a Senior Fellow for University Outreach and Engagement. And he was the President of the American Folklore Society when they formed the China-U.S. Forum on Intangible Cultural Heritage.